Okay. Actually, the main text is going to be Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Now, we're going to take a glance at these verses, and then we're going to try to get the context, and then we'll come back to it. So, Hebrews 4, 11 through 16. 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Okay, many of you will recall Hebrews 3 and 4 is much discussion about the topic of rest. It occurs at least 6 or 8 times in these two chapters. Then suddenly, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. A verse that many of you may have used and refer to. Well, what does the Word of God have to do with rest? And then verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Well, we've jumped from rest to the Word of God to our great high priest. I think we've all looked at these and referred to these verses at different times in our lives, just picking out the one or two applicable to us at that moment. But why are they here together? I mean, I think it's safe to assume that God's just not splattering thoughts on random thoughts on a page. Okay, so that's our goal today, is try to tie these together. We're going to try to tie these together. So verse 11 starts out with rest. That's the first thing we're going to try to look at. And this topic of rest starts in chapter 3, verse 7. So we're going to start reading there. And we're not going to read every verse in chapter 3 and 4, but we are going to read a bunch of them. Okay. So we're trying to figure out rest, first of all. Hebrews 3:7, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Okay, we see, take care, brethren. Alright? The book of Hebrews, if you ever read Hebrews, there's some tough warnings. There's some firm teaching in the book of Hebrews. And I think some Christians would like to say, well, he's talking to non-believers right now. It's my belief the great majority of the book of Hebrews is speaking to believers. Take care, brethren. Okay. God's speaking to us. So, what is this about? Where these people tried God, they angered Him, and they saw His works for 40 years. This is referring to the Israelites. You will recall, we'll just kind of go over the story very briefly. God appeared to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3. And God gave Moses two promises. One, I've seen the afflictions of my people, and I'm going to use you to deliver them. And two, I will give them a good land flowing with milk and honey. All right, so we know the story. God, through Moses, through the Passover lamb, through God's great power, parting the Red Sea, getting the people through, God kept His first promise. He delivered them from Egypt. Great miracles they saw. Alright, so now they're delivered from Egypt. And God restates His promise. He says again, now I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. And the Israelites, well, Lord, show us that land. And God says, okay, you can go spy it out. And they went and spied it out, 12 of them, and they came back. Two of them said, let's go. We can do it. The Lord is with us. We can conquer the people in this land because the Lord is with us. But 10 of them said, they're big. They have fortified cities. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They're going to make our wives and our children plunder. And they came, 10 of them came back with that bad report, and the multitude believed the 10. And this angered God greatly. I just delivered you out of Egypt. You saw my power. I've promised you again this land flowing with milk and honey. You yourself went and saw it. It's flowing with milk and honey, and now you're not going to believe me. You're not going to go try to take it. And so we know they spent the next, everyone over the age of 20, except Caleb and Joshua, spent the next 38 years in the wilderness and died. Only the next generation eventually got to go to the promised land. So how did this make God feel? We read verse 8, he considered it provoking him. Verse 10, it angered him. Verse 10, he considered it going astray in their hearts. Verse 10, they do not know my ways. That's a big one. Boy, do we know the Lord's ways? Do we really know him? Verse 16, for who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? God considered it sin. This disobedience, this lack of faith, he considered it sin. Verse 18, and to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient. He considered it disobedience. Verse 19, and so we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief. So I think those we could count as the two biggies there. Unbelief, not trusting in God's promises, led to disobedience, led to angering God, led to them missing out on God's rest, which was for their own good, which was going to be tremendous blessings. And the second warning in the book of Hebrews is in this chapter. Many commentaries, they kind of summarize it from all these verses. It's to the believer, to the Christian, guard yourself against a sinful, unbelieving heart. Or phrased another way, there's a warning here of the danger of doubting or disbelieving the Word of God or disbelieving God's promises. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, brings this up. To understand the chapters, it's good to know what the context, what the backdrop is. Okay, we're still trying to figure out what rest is. So they, those Israelites, did not enter God's rest. All right, we're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to start in Deuteronomy. And the best way to find out rest, what rest is to see what God in His Word associates with rest. We'll figure out what rest is. And we're doing this because it appears 6 or 8 plus times in chapters 3 and 4. Now, before we do this, there is actually many rests. Right? When a sinner realizes he is lost in his sin, when he realizes he deserves hell, every man, woman, and child, because of their sin before a holy God, deserves hell. That's their problem. When they realize God's solution, God's infinite love in sending His Son to personally die for them on the cross to pay for their sins, When they put their complete trust in the Lord Jesus' death, they're saved from their sin. And a great rest comes from that. That can be called the rest of salvation or peace with God. Okay, the rest of salvation, the moment you realized you were truly saved and it is well with my soul. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's the rest of salvation. And it's my opinion, that's not what these verses are talking about. Right, there's another rest. There's a future rest in heaven. Okay? It's my opinion that's not what these verses are talking about. Now, in chapter 4, it may be talking about these at different points, but the overall context of what the rest is in chapter 3 and 4, my opinion, it's not salvation rest, and it's not heaven. Okay, so we're going to look. What is this rest? In Deuteronomy chapter 12, okay, we will see in Deuteronomy 12:10, 12:9 is the word resting place, and 12:10 is the word rest. So we're going to read around this and try to figure out what God means by rest. Okay, so we're going to get to it in verse 9 and 10, but we're going to start in verse 1, Deuteronomy 12:1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall carefully observe in the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live in the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall tear down their altars. I'm going to jump ahead. Verse 4, you shall not act like this toward the Lord your God. Okay? No worshiping of other things. Verse 5, but you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God shall choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. Verse 7, there also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God, and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not do at all what we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For you have not as yet come to the resting place and the inheritance which the Lord your God has given you. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you live in security. All right, so what we've seen here is associated with rest is an inheritance. For them, it was land. For them, it was going to be land. Okay, associated with this was security, rejoicing, and also having nothing to do with those things that God considers unholy. Okay, I don't want you worshiping the things that these other civilizations are worshiping. I'm going to have you drive them out. You have nothing to do with them. So, they're associated with rest is an inheritance, security, rejoicing, and driving out the things that God considers unholy. Okay, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. For the sake of time, I think we have to go pretty quick through this. We're just trying to get a flavor of what rest is. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Here's some of God's promises. Verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Okay, promises from God. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And just to show that this is associated with rest, verse 12, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you, and they also possess the land. Okay, we're just trying to get a flavor of what rest is. With rest is associated the promises of God, faith in those promises. We read about being obedient to God's commandments. Okay, don't turn from them to the right or to the left, so you may have success wherever you go. Obey God's word, meditate on it. Have faith, have trust. And in 14 and 15, or 14, we read about warriors. Now, this is an important part. We got to realize when they eventually crossed the Jordan, did they sit by the beach in lawn chairs? The answer is no. I mean, it wasn't a rest. We're God's children. We're going to just sit by the beach in lawn chairs the rest of our lives. That's not rest. Okay? Talked about their warriors, all right? Also associated with God's rest is being a warrior, being a servant, doing the work of Christ, realizing what God wants done and doing it, trusting Him that His promise, that He will meet all His promises, that He will give you strength, that He will provide, that there will be victory, and you go and do it. So there is work involved in rest. Okay? And one last, let's go to Joshua 21, and we'll summarize rest. Joshua 21, verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. And we saw in verse 44, the Lord gave them rest. So there was work associated with this rest. And there was God keeping His promises. Okay, so what is rest? Okay, rest in Hebrews chapter 3 or 4, my opinion, primarily, it is not salvation, rest, my soul is saved. It is not the future rest in heaven. It is not taking it easy. I'm a Christian. I got it made. I'm going to just rest the rest of my life. It's a picture of the believer having faith in God and His promises. That believer leaving no provision in his life for worldly things. It's a believer walking in obedience. It's a believer busy in the work of the Lord. There's battles. It's a believer serving the Lord, and then the Lord in return giving him. What words did we read? We read about security. We read about rejoicing, peace, joy. And another scripture about rest is refreshment. Believer, although you may be in a, you may be tremendously bogged down, doing a lot of work for the Lord, just so much going on, just busy, busy, busy for the Lord. If you're in the center of God's will, God promises there'll be great refreshment, great peace, great joy, great blessing. Pretty much every commentary when this subject comes up, they refer to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 as one of the primary verses of the believer's rest on this side of the cross. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Yesterday, Bill McDonald listed some of those. It was a mere 17. It was neat to hear about them. Things like salvation, communion with God, sanctified, the list just goes on and on. Justified, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, anointed, has access to God in prayer, citizenship in heaven, forgiveness of sins, sons of God, heirs of God, more than conquerors. Right, these are part of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, a believer can get distracted and outside of God's will, and although he still has, you know, those 17 plus, there's more. If you're saved, those are your blessings. I mean, Satan can't take them away. But if you're outside the center of God's will, we all know how it feels. You surely don't feel blessed. You know, God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, I don't feel very blessed today. I mean, we've all been there. And sometimes those days, you know, it's a day. Well, is it a week? Is it a month? It's all dependent on. I want to make a distinction. There's times when Satan attacks and a believer can get down. And, you know, I'm not saying that every time you're depressed, it's because you're outside of the center of God's will. I'm certainly not saying that. But you kind of know yourself when, yeah, I've drifted a bit and I don't feel blessed. I don't feel that rest. So that's what we're talking about here. So back to Hebrews 3 and 4. Okay, chapter 4. The theme of rest continues. Most of 4 is about rest. Hebrews 4 verse 1. Therefore let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it. For indeed, well, hold off a second. So the thoughts of rest continue, and God tells us, let us fear. Let us be greatly concerned. Let us put thought in this. Okay? Don't miss out on your rest. And God wants you to be filled with the tremendously with the joy of Christ. Okay, don't miss out on it. Verse 2, For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Okay, once again, he's talking about the Israelites. They had God's promise. They had good word preached to them. But there was no profit because faith in God's promise. They did not unite their own faith with God's promise. God's promise was there, but they didn't have the faith to go with it. So they missed out on it. Right? So that's a warning to us. We too have had many promises from God. And just in case we forgot from chapter 3, God tells us again. Verse 6, why did they not enter rest? Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them, they failed to enter because of disobedience. So, chapter 4 tells us again, lack of faith, verse 2, disobedience, verse 6. Okay, so that's a summarizing rest. And is this relevant to us today? Well, we read in 3:7, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Chapter 3, verse 15. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Chapter 4, verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Psalm 95. These same words are there. So, it was applicable to the Israelites. It was applicable to the next generation of the Israelites. It was applicable in the times of Psalms. And I think God's showing us today, it's applicable now. Remember last week, a brother shared a few stories. One of them was about tomorrow. There was a sign, free food in the restaurant tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never came. Today, Christians, today, because tomorrow will never come. Today, if you hear his voice. Okay, we're done with the introduction. Nobody has to leave before 12:30, do they? Okay, Hebrews 4:11. With all that in mind, what does 4:11 through 16 mean? 4:11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. So one last time, be diligent to enter that rest. Be diligent to be in the center of God's will and to receive these spiritual blessings. The King James says, let us labor therefore. Okay? We don't labor for our salvation. Alright? This is laboring to stay in the center of God's will, to trust in His promises, and to enter God's rest. Let us labor. Let us be diligent. Christian, God wants you to enter. He wants you to be in the center of His will. John 15:11, the Lord said, this is after the abiding in me teachings to the 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The Lord Jesus wants to fill us with joy. John 10:10, I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. Abundantly. And let's for a moment turn to Matthew 11. Keep your place here. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right. Verse 28 has been called salvation rest. You come to Christ in belief, trust in Him, your soul's saved, He gives you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. Right. The word souls in verse 29, there's a few words in the Bible that man or Christians in general kind of have they interpret wrong, or they take the first meaning of it and they will interpret a verse wrong. The Greek word that gets translated souls is many, many times also translated life. It seems to go either way, life or souls. All right. To get saved from your sins, do you have to take Christ's yoke on you? In terms of being a co-worker, a co-laborer with Christ? No. Salvation's free. Perhaps an interesting way to read this would be, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your inner being, rest for your life. Soul here, don't think of it in terms of salvation, but think of it in terms of the inner you, the thing that makes you you, okay, the very inner you. You will find rest for you. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. So here's the Lord Jesus again, calling us to be partners, calling us to labor with Him. Take my yoke upon you. It is easy and my load is light. Do this with me and you will find rest. The inner you. You will find rest for your souls. That deep joy that only God can give. Okay, so we're to be diligent to enter this type of rest. Back to Hebrews 4. Okay. Going from rest to, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Alright. Where'd verse 12 come from? We're talking about rest. And suddenly, for the word of God is active. The word of God. And the Greek here, this is referring to the written word of God, not the Lord Jesus. This is referring to the written word of God is living and active. Okay. I think this, in the subject of rest, how do you enter, or how do you be diligent to enter God's rest? Well, we saw the problem in verse 2. This was about the Word of God. In verse 2, hey, the Israelites had the Word preached to them. They didn't follow it in faith. It didn't do any good. We too have had the Word of God preached to us. We need to unite it by faith. Okay? When we read God's Word, we've got to believe it and obey it. I mean, this verse just jumps out here, but I think that's why it's here. All right, you want to enter God's rest? When you read His Word, just simply believe it and obey it. Okay, there's two things. In all this we're discussing, if you remember two things out of all this, okay, one of them is to have rest. When you read God's Word, believe it, trust it, and obey it. Believe it and obey it. I believe that's why verse 12 is here. Okay, so that's one point. Let's remember, just the simple. Believe it and obey it. Okay, so relating it to rest again. What types of issues are we to believe? What types of issues in our life are we talking about? Well, as we go on here, we're going to talk about sin issues. If there's known sin in your life, obey God's Word. Get it out of your life. Two, if you feel the Lord leading you to take a step of faith, take the step of faith. Be obedient. Take the step of faith. We make it sound real simple, but sometimes that step of faith can be difficult. You know, it's like, well, Lord, is this of you or is this of me? Is this my idea or do you really want to do this? Commentaries bring out in verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. Okay? Soul, again, that inner you. Spirit, that part of us that has communication with God. Well, Lord, do you really want me to take this step of faith? Is this of you, or is this of my flesh? Is this of me? Well, the Word of God pierces that far to distinguish. Is it of me, or is it of the Spirit? Is it God communicating to me through my Spirit? Ask God to show you. He'll show you in His Word. The Word of God is living and active, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow. I think the joints and marrow is just in there to show us, you know, the joints and marrow and everything, they're working together. Our soul and spirit work together. My spirit communicating with God, the Word of God gets in there and it can divide it. And it can, Word of God through the Holy Spirit will sort those things out for us. And able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We're an open book before God. You know, we can fool ourselves, but we can't fool God. We're an open book. If you're not in obedience, if there's a sin issue in your life, if you're trying to pretend you don't know about it or it's not that serious, God knows. If there's a step of faith He's asking you to take, He knows exactly where you are, and you're an open book before God. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God judges us now, and God judges us at the judgment seat of Christ. I think we all would agree that at the judgment seat of Christ, when we see the glory of the Lord Jesus, we see our precious Savior, our Savior who died for us, when we see the incredible glory of the Lord Jesus, we're going to fall on our faces. And I think everyone here will wish they had done more. I think we'd all agree with that. At a minimum, we would wish we'd done more. First John 2:28 says there will be some who shrink away in shame. But at a minimum, we all will wish we'd done more. When we see the glory of the Lord Jesus, we'll wonder why we ever chase these other things. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We will meet Him. Praise the Lord. We will meet Him someday. So, when the Lord's telling you something, let's just do it. Let's just obey. Verse 14, it seems there's another topic change. We went from rest to the Word of God to now about our great high priest. Well, it's yet another topic change. How does this tie in? Verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. All right, for the Hebrews at this time, verse 14, they were to hold fast their confession. They were being persecuted. One of their great needs was to hold fast their confession in all the persecution. Okay, we have needs too. We've discussed them. Some of our needs are, Lord, I have this sin issue and I know You want it out of my life. I need Your help. We talked about another one. Lord, I feel You asking me to take this step of faith. Lord, I am scared to death. How do I do it? Okay. Okay, so in the context of entering God's rest, taking that step of faith, getting that sin out of our lives to enter God's rest, the Word of God is convicting you. Okay, then you come to the Lord. Lord, help me. Help me do these things. That's the point of verse 14 through 16, our great high priest. The Lord Jesus, our great high priest, the only one. Where? He's passed through the heavens. He's seated at the right hand of God, there to help us. There to help us. This is the Lord's present ministry for us at the right hand of God, is to help us in our need when we come to Him. Okay? Verse 16. Maybe this is something that'll stick in your mind. Verse 16. Coming to the Lord for help in these things so that we can enter God's rest. In verse 16 is a who, what, where, when, why, and how. Have you ever noticed that? Verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who? We. We. What are we to do? Draw near. Where? To the throne of grace. Why? To receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oops, I jumped ahead. To receive mercy and find grace to help. When? In time of need. Is it to stop sinning? Is it to take that step of faith? Whatever your need is, Christ is there. And how? Let us draw near with confidence. Some translations say boldly. Christian, cling to this. God gives us the who, what, where, when, why, and how to stop sinning and how to take that step of faith. All right, we're almost done. Verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. We talked about this the last time in Hebrews. There are some Christians who believe the Lord Jesus could have sinned, but He just happened to make all the right choices. Okay, they believe He didn't sin, but they believe He could have, and He made all the right choices. And it's, I think, verse 2:18. And this verse are the verses that lead them to those thoughts. Verse 15 here, well, it says He can sympathize with my weaknesses. Well, that must mean that for the Lord Jesus to really know what I'm going through when I'm tempted, that He must inside feel what I felt inside, or what I feel inside. And that is doctrinally wrong. The Lord Jesus had nothing inside Him to respond to temptation the way we do. Okay, and this is key. If you want victory with verse 16, this is key. You got to understand this. It's not that Jesus felt the inner temptation like me. That's not what this is saying. That is bringing Christ down to our level. Okay, remember, God's trying to conform us to the image of Christ, trying to raise us up. Okay, if we... to believe that Christ feels like I do, or Christ felt like I do when I am tempted to sin, that's bringing Christ down to my level. We cannot do that. Okay, the proper attitude then when coming to God, in, like in verse 16, for help in time of need, let's turn to Romans chapter 7. And this is the second point. If you remember two things from this message, let's go to Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 22. I wish we had time to read more, but we don't. We'll just read two verses. The context, remember, this is the wretched man that I am section. Romans 7, 22. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. I joyfully concur with the law of God. God's law is good, it is holy, it is right. I agree with God about His law and what's right. But, verse 23, I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? The key to having victory in Romans 4:16 is to do as Paul did. Realize that sin is wretched. God wants it out of your life. You take sides with God. You step aside and say, God, that rotten flesh, that sin, I agree with you. I'm coming to the throne of grace. I want to stop doing this sin. I agree with you, God. I'm coming to you for help. And your word tells me you will help me. But we need to be sincere, and we need to agree with God about that sin and want it out of our life. Or for the other example, is it the step of faith you're trying to do? You know, just be sincere and tell God. There's another verse I wanted to go to, but we're running out of time. James talks about lacking faith. If you lack faith, you'll be tossed about here and there. Well, if you lack faith in your prayers, asking God, you'll be tossed about to and fro. Well, come to God for that strength to do that step of faith. And I mean, just wholeheartedly admit to Him you're a chicken. But believe that He will get you through it. He will give you the strength. You can take that step of faith and then have tremendous rest. So, we're wrapping up, summarizing. Rest, that peace, that joy of all the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. The inner peace and joy from the Lord Jesus, it comes by trust and obey, turning our will over to God's. When you read it, just believe it and obey it. Yesterday, Bill McDonald shared about, he shared some thoughts from Judges, and you're familiar with Judges, there was the cycles repeated over and over of drifting from God, sinning, God would bring punishment, they'd call out to God, they'd realize, oh, we've drifted from God, they'd call out to Him, God would restore them, things would be good. They would drift, they would sin, and that cycle just repeated over and over. And yesterday, Bill started out, he said, okay, he said, here's some steps to not be in that cycle. And it's the same four steps to enter God's rest. And the first one he said, turn your life over, turn your will over, and be completely obedient. And, yeah, you know that, but the thing is, I thought to myself, wow, Bill, that's number one. Wait, keep that one till the end. That's the hard one. Leave that one till the end. Give us the easier ones first. Build up to it. But no, there's this 80-plus-year-old man who has walked with the Lord. The Word of God just penetrates him, just flows out of him. It's that simple. You want rest? You want peace in your life? Just obey God. Just have a heart for God. That's what this is about. Entering God's rest. When the Word of God convicts you, just believe it and obey it. And of course we can't do this on our own. The only way is by going to the Lord Jesus. But you got to go in faith. And you got to go taking sides with God. There's many times in my life I've gone to the Lord half-heartedly asking for help. And I failed. You got to go in faith and taking sides with God. Father, we thank You for Your promises. Lord, You want to fill us with rest, with peace and joy. Lord, You give us positive reinforcement, so to speak. Lord, if we just obey, trust and obey, You'll fill us with such joy. Lord, You tell us good reasons why. Lord, we pray we would just simply trust and obey. And for every step of the way where we need help, turn to the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for drawing these verses together. I pray it's understood by everyone here, just kind of how these flow together and why. Father, thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus, our great high priest. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.